Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood, please press star 3 on your phone's keypad at any time. Later in the hour, we'll be asking your opinion and have you participate in the live poll question. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Hugh, and thank you to all the area residents participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas I received come directly from my neighbors. I'm Senator Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall. We'll be focusing on raising the minimum wage or any other issues that are important to you, and to answer any question that you may have. This format will allow you to listen in, offer your opinion, and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone.
Thank you, Senator. Just as a reminder, as the Senator indicated, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, whether it's on the minimum wage or another issue, please press star 3 on your phone's keypad, and we'll get you up and talking with the Senator in short order. Senator, let's just go a little bit into the minimum wage. We're coming down the home stretch toward the end of session. There's been a lot of talk and discussion about raising the minimum wage. Where does it stand currently?
As you may know, we have not had a raise in the minimum wage standard here in Pennsylvania in over 10 years. In fact, June of this year was a 10-year anniversary of not raising minimum wage. And there are several bills to raise it to $9 an hour or $10 an hour or to $15 an hour. That legislation is all in the Senate. However, it's stuck in a committee called the Labor and Industry Committee. We have not been able to get a vote out of that committee on the legislation in 2 years. And so we're faced with ending the session tomorrow. Ending session means that we've got to start all over with the next session, which is January 17 until November 18. So I think what we have to do now is focus on the next session, begin to look at the senators that we need to focus on to get their support so we can move this legislation forward. And we'll need to redouble our efforts to focus on those senators that we need to change their position so that we can get the minimum wage raised.
Just a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. I know we're having some folks join a discussion here in progress. Senator, just to get back and drill down a little bit more on the minimum wage, when you're talking about raising the minimum wage, what impact does that have on families, on working families, on single moms, those in the community where that would be affected by an increase in the minimum wage?
There's at least three main areas where raising minimum wage will help families and communities. First, you may not know, minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. That's only about $14,000 a year, full-time, if you can get 40 hours. It's very hard to get 40 hours of work at minimum wage. The poverty line for a family of two is $16,020. $14,000 is less than $16,000. So individuals working full-time at minimum wage are still in poverty. That's outrageous that hard work could lead to poverty, and we have called that poverty pay. So that's number one, to get individuals out of poverty who are hard working 40 hours a week, we got to raise the minimum wage. Number two, right now, because the pay is poverty pay, individuals are receiving different types of public assistance to make it. They're running out of money at the end of the month or the third week of the month. As a result, significant numbers of hardworking people are relying on the food voucher program, SNAP, for food assistance. Hardworking people are relying on housing assistance, housing choice, and other housing assistance. Hardworking people are relying on Medicaid. If their employers were paying them $15 an hour, then the taxpayers would not be in a position to have to pay the public assistance required to subsidize these employers. Third, businesses, as many small businesses as well as large businesses that support raising the minimum wage. The Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce this fall decided that they would like to see the minimum wage go to $15 an hour. And there's a very simple reason for that. Individuals who have more money to spend at this wage level will tend to spend it. And if you will spend the additional dollars per hour, that means there's more shopping. More shopping means that there's more sales of shoes and clothing. And that means more sales is good for business because businesses are all about making sales. Our economy is, in the United States, is about 60% consumer-driven. Consumers with more money will stimulate the economy. Keystone Research Center said that we would create about 6,000 new jobs in the state if we could raise the minimum wage. So in terms of stimulating the economy, I don't think there's a single better solution than raising the minimum wage.
Thank you, Senator. Just a reminder for those that have joined us, press star 3 on your phone's keypad, and as I indicated, we're going to have a live poll question that folks can participate in coming up very shortly. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to our first caller tonight. We're going to go to Chester. Chester, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening. This is Reverend Chester Williams. How are you?
Good. Reverend Williams, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, good. Thank the Lord. I had a question. I just couldn't comprehend after speaking to so many people that proves if the minimum wages I support you would come about, it would eliminate, cause more taxes to be paid. And I hate to say it this way, but forgive me if I'm offending anyone, but it's known that black people are big spenders and they love to spend and buy things. Because even my son get me sometimes, say, Dad, you're a shopaholic. But it's that way, the more they buy, the more the economy would get even better and better. So I don't understand why people hold back and don't want this minimum wage to be elevated to the $15. So maybe what you have said earlier does enlighten if they could only understand it and agree with you, because how else can we do this to get America back up on its feet more stronger? And the second part, would you support us in talking to Aldi's about the store that they have on Washington Lane and Chew, that if there's such a restriction that we were told that they will restrict, remove it, so we can have a supermarket there to serve our constituents in our community that's disabled, handicapped, seniors, etc., that can't travel far to go to a supermarket. When Bottom Dollar was there, it was a great asset to the community. We want to know, can you help us with the city in trying to get this thing changed, if it's such in this city or any other city, that these restrictions can't be allowed to hinder people what they want and need in their community, such as a supermarket?
So thank you very much, Reverend Williams. Let me address both of the points. Number one, more spending is definitely good for the economy. There are some small businesses who say they cannot afford to pay the $15 an hour. I want to be clear that going to $15 an hour is something that happens in multiple steps in multiple years. Most of these proposals have us going to $15 an hour in 4 or 5 years or that kind of time frame. So there'd be a transition for businesses, not an immediate shock. And I think that is part of what businesses have to see. 70% of Pennsylvanians agree with raising the minimum wage to 15 an hour. So it's got a lot of popular support. We've got to turn the support of the people into the support of the elected officials. And to do that, we need the people to contact their elected officials and make the demand. Second, on Aldi, I have heard that there is a restriction that Aldi has placed in that store to make it much more difficult to have a competing grocery store. And I would be glad to meet with you and discuss how we can address what may be an anti-competition provision in the Aldi, in that Aldi lease or in that store. I do believe that competition in this area is good, that having a grocery store at Washington Lane at CHU would be a good thing, so that folks who live in that area can get access to shopping and groceries and hopefully even fresh food and meat. So I'm in full support of getting a grocery store there, and be glad to talk to you in the district about what we may be able to do with the what appears to be an anti-competition provision that Aldi has. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for the call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to the, back to the callers. We're going to go to Edna. Edna, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator Haywood. How are you?
My
name is Edna Scott, and I'm from Philadelphia. Okay, the question that I would like to ask, I mean, since these people were on the minimum wage, okay, and they are going getting up every day to go to work, okay, and at the end of the week or the end of the month, they still cannot make ends meet. Okay, now tell me, what incentive is that for those people to get up every morning to go to work?
So I think you have raised an excellent point, Ms. Scott.
I mean, because number one, if it was me, I mean, you know what? I mean, and I'm still going to be in the hole at the end of the month, at the end of the week, and I'm still going to have to go get food stamps. I'm still going to have to go to the food bank, or I am still going to have to depend on Medicaid or what or whatever. You know something? That's no incentive for me to get up and go to work at all.
First of all, let me say that it is a disincentive to put in hard work and not be paid fairly. I believe, in fact, it's exploitation. And there are many people who have that extraordinary work ethic and character. They want to work. They want to be productive members of society. And so they continue to work. And I do want to encourage people to continue to work even in these conditions. But I do agree that it's not a good incentive, and that is why we've got to raise the minimum wage so we can reward those who are willing to do what it takes to contribute to our communities, to contribute to our families, even as you are really identifying, to support their character. I thank you so much for that. I agree.
Edna, thank you very much for your call. If you have a question for Senator Haywood, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. I'd like to introduce our live poll question this evening. And the question tonight is, do you support raising the minimum wage from its current $7.25 per hour to $15 per hour? If you do, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you press 3. We'll get you up in the queue and speaking with the senator shortly. Senator, we're going to go to Nancy. Nancy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood. Nancy, you there?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Senator Haywood, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I recently attended a network of entrepreneurial women in the city of Philadelphia, and there was some discussion about a recent meeting regarding homelessness. And my question to you is, what are your feelings about any change that you would entertain or spearhead or support in combating or helping the homeless population in the city, especially since recently Philadelphia has had increased visibility between the Pope visiting, the DNC, and the upcoming NFL. So I'm just wondering how, you know, what you see in terms of any change, real change, to help these men and women that line our streets. Thank you so much for answering my question.
And thank you for raising the question, Nancy. Let me just say initially, for 30 years, I have been a lawyer representing nonprofit organizations dedicated to creating affordable housing. And that's been apartments, shelters, as well as affordable home ownership opportunities. So I'm very connected and aware of the challenge of homelessness in Philadelphia, and actually not just in Philadelphia, in Philadelphia and the suburbs, where there is a challenge in the suburbs as well, maybe not as well publicized, but yet there. What I think can be done, last session, we passed a housing trust fund, which provides more money for affordable housing from the state. And I think that was a step forward, because most of the homeless challenge is getting appropriate amount of funding so there can be housing for individuals who do not have it. So I was an advocate for that housing trust funds to make more money available to provide more housing units. At the same time, I believe that getting the substantial amount of money that's necessary to deal with homelessness is going to require support from Congress. Congress has the level of funding available that really would be needed to make a dent in the homelessness in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, and in Philadelphia. And so I'll be working with soon-to-be Congressman Dwight Evans to encourage his advocacy, because that's where the dollars are that can really make a dent in what we have in Philadelphia.
Nancy, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad, and we'll get you up on talking with the senator shortly. Our live poll question this evening is, do you support raising the minimum wage from its current $7.25 per hour to $15 per hour? If you do, you can press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. This time we're going to go to Krista. Krista, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, Senator. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question was going back to the references you made to raising the minimum wage, which I wholly support. And I was a caseworker for a time, both in Philadelphia County and Montgomery County, so I saw firsthand that there was a lot of clients that we were serving with food stamps and Medicaid that were in need of those benefits because they just weren't making enough, working practically a full-time schedule and making just barely above minimum wage. But my question goes a little bit further than that, because I've noticed a pattern when I was in the county assistance office that a lot of those jobs were service-based jobs, such as restaurants and customer service. And I would like to know what plans, are there any plans in the future, hopefully the near future, where we can have a program for our graduating high school seniors where they're actually leaving school with an associate's degree so they're better prepared for the workforce? I think I read a while ago that North Carolina has such a program where they have seniors who are graduating from school with associate's degrees and are finding jobs quickly, and they're good high-paying jobs too. So that was my question. Is there any action on that?
Thank you so much, Krista. And that's an excellent question. It helps us look at the path to jobs with higher pay. We don't have a similar program as North Carolina in Pennsylvania at this time. What we do have in some instances are dual enrollment programs where you can enroll in a high school and get college credits. We made arrangements with Arcadia University to have dual enrollment with Martin Luther King High School, and there are a number of these dual enrollment programs across the state. At one time, the Commonwealth was providing money to make dual enrollment more affordable. Unfortunately, that ended, but we may be able to restore funding so that you can get college credits while in high school. But we have not gone as far as getting an AA degree or any other degree program. I think that is a good direction in which to head. I'm a big advocate for expanding higher education and looking at opportunities where people can get a vocational training, sometimes a one-year certificate. You're right, these are opportunities where folks can earn a strong living based upon just getting a year or two of higher education. So you're raising, I think, a good direction, policy direction for the state, and I'll look at it more closely. I think it's an excellent policy direction, one I'll have my staff look into, and maybe we can take it up in the next session beginning January 2017.
Krista, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to Nancy, another Nancy this evening. Nancy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello, Senator Haywood. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. In talking about raising the minimum wage, which I absolutely support, my question is, how do restaurants get away with, and why are they not mandated to pay more than $2.38 an hour? My daughter worked for a major casual dining chain for 6.5 years, everything from a hostess to a bartender. They make $2.38 an hour, and it's not made up on tips, not even close. So how do restaurants get away with that, and how can they be made to pay minimum wage to their wait staff and their kitchen staff?
Thank you, Nancy, for that question. And it is a significant challenge, and we do have some legislation that addresses it. Let me take a step back. So the tip wage is exactly as you have said, $2.38 an hour, and there is a requirement that employers make up the difference for the employees so that at a minimum they get 7.25. You are also right that most of the time employers don't make up the difference, and individuals making a tip wage can end up making $2.38 or $3 or $4 or $5 an hour. So we have two different proposals here in Pennsylvania. One is to eliminate the tip wage. Eliminate the tip wage, make every worker have a minimum wage of whatever we set it, whether it's 15 or 10, but there would be one minimum wage. And that is a proposal that I support. There's another proposal that has the tip wage pegged at 70% of the minimum wage. And, of course, that would be a significant increase from $2.38. But I do believe that the way to go is one fair wage. We do have legislation going in that same direction, and hopefully we can get it passed at the same time as raising the minimum wage. But you are right, and you can't survive on $7.25. You definitely can't make it on $2.38 and unpredictable tips. I did want to share one other thing with respect to the minimum wage. Let me just walk through this with everybody. If you work 40 hours and you make $7.25 per hour, that comes to $290 a week gross. $290 a week gross. Depending on where you are, what's that? Maybe $200 a week net after they take out various payroll taxes. $200 is what you have at the end of the week after working 40 hours. That's outrageous.
Thank you very much, Nancy, for your call. Senator, those are startling statistics when you think about that. But and that's why we need to increase the minimum wage. Again, to determine the support for that, I want to go back to our live poll question, and that is, do you support raising the minimum wage from its current $7.25 an hour to $15 per hour? If you do, you press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Michael. Michael, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening. This is Michael Cunningham from Mount Airy, also from the Cliveden Hills Association. Listen, my question is two-part. One is, what is the percentage of workers at minimum wage? And is there an opportunity to couple minimum wage increase with the reduction in business tax with the reduction of business tax? Because you talked about increased spending. If we create opportunities to make it more affordable to the businesses, maybe they could do it. Because a lot of times when I hear about the minimum wage increase, it makes it sound like the businesses are sitting on a pot of money and they could just go ahead and give out this money, and I don't think that's 100% the case. And I have a follow-up question after you answer that one.
I'm Okay, so you got three questions. Let me address the first two. Number one, they're at $7.25 an hour. They are under 100,000. However, under 10 an hour, and these are low-wage workers making under $10.10 an hour, there are approximately 1.1 million Pennsylvanians. 1.1 million Pennsylvanians earning under 10 an hour as in terms of the low-wage workforce. Second, in terms of incentive, so a number of small businesses have joined in for raising minimum wage to at least 10-10. That's in a two-year period. And they have a business model that permits that. So it's not that I'm saying businesses are sitting on a significant amount of money. But what it appears to be the case is there are a set of businesses who have a business model that's based upon paying 7.25 based upon low wages. And this is a business model that, in my opinion, is exploitation, because it's exploitation in two respects. One, individuals can't make it on that amount of money. Two, it's requiring taxpayers to supplement what it takes to live by either providing food assistance, which is SNAP, or housing assistance, which is housing choice, or Medicaid for health care. And so instead of employers paying the cost of employment, employers have shifted the cost of employment to the taxpayers. That kind of business model is completely inconsistent with the free enterprise system. The taxpayers should not be required to subsidize small businesses so that the small businesses can survive.
Okay, that makes sense. And to tag on what somebody said earlier about focusing on increasing the income, because the types of jobs that you were mentioned that these minimum wages primarily support don't seem to be the type of jobs that people would get for supporting a family in the first place. So if more focus was on preparing our workforce so that they can qualify for higher paying jobs, that would also satisfy your objective of having more spending money and also getting them out of that poverty and getting them off the the taxes that we pay to support them. Would you agree?
So I agree that we need to create more high-paying jobs, and in order to do that, we need to encourage people and have affordable higher education so that individuals can get the skills that would allow for high-paying jobs. So I fully agree with expanding skill levels and therefore the earnings that people have. At the same time, that does not mean that those who don't have the higher skill levels should be receiving poverty pay. There's no one who should be receiving poverty pay in America. There's no business model that should be dependent on poverty pay and public subsidy to make it. And so my view is that we need both. Yes, higher education, that opportunities that are affordable, so folks can get higher skills and therefore higher pay, and a minimum wage that's consistent with the dignity of any human being putting in the time and deserving fair pay. Thank you so much, Michael.
Michael, thank you very much for those questions. Senator, we're going to go back and we're going to follow up with Greg. He's got a follow-up question to Krista. Greg, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello, Senator Haywood.
Hello, Greg.
Hi, my name is Greg Holmes. I'm a self-employed real estate investor, so to speak, here in Philadelphia. And I'm listening to what you're talking about regarding the increasing or helping with the education so that we can be more prepared for these jobs. But there's one more factor I wanted to kind of bring light to, and that's what the business needs are. Is there any program or potential program that's going to be put in place to kind of almost do a feasibility study on pretty much of what the business needs are, the businesses need, so that that can be brought to the table, so that that can help in that education piece for people to understand these jobs that they're going for, whether it be service industry or whatever industry that they go into, that'll help them and put them in a better position so it'll be easier to for the businesses to pay that $15 an hour or whatever the new wage should be. Is there any kind of program in working directly with the businesses is my question.
That's an excellent point, Greg, and there are some examples of high schools that are doing a better job of matching what the children are learning with what the businesses need once the children finish school. And I think that matching needs to be more closely achieved. One school that is in my district that's excellent is Cristo Reyes. And Cristo Reyes is as a co-op program where the high school children spend time in businesses, and as a result, they get that some on-the-job or hands-on training and exposure. And Cristo Reyes has an excellent record of getting kids into higher education and employment opportunities. So when you do have the match that you're talking about, it has been proven to be successful. Now, how we extend that from one high school to more high schools, I think, is a significant challenge in Philadelphia, largely because the school district's got a number of real funding challenges. But I do think you have part of the solution, and that we should look more closely at how we can replicate what we have that's extremely successful at Cristo Reyes.
Greg, thank you very much for your question. As a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad, and we'll get you in line with the Senator quickly. Our live poll question this evening is, do you support raising a minimum wage from its current $7.25 per hour to $15 per hour? If you do, press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, press 2. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Kara. And Kara, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Go ahead, Kara.
Hi, Senator Haywood. First of all, it was a pleasure to get my voter registration training from you, and I'm excited to encourage everyone to go vote in 2 weeks. And as far as the minimum wage, I fully support an increase in minimum wage. My concern is, will the legislation have some sort of safeguard that the cost of living won't increase in proportion to the minimum wage increase? You know, so the poverty line is $15 an hour rather than lower.
Thank you so very much for that question, Kieran. I do encourage full citizen participation, which does include voting. But on raising minimum wage, we have proposed in the legislation an automatic cost of living increase so that the minimum wage would go up with the cost of living. This is a very, very important part of the legislation because we don't want to have to come back every 5 or 8 or 10 years to have a protracted debate about raising the minimum wage. So what we want to do is get it passed with a cost of living adjustment so that wages will increase as the cost of living does. So that's in the legislation. I'm confident that it will be included, and I have to be straightforward with you. In 2007, when the minimum wage went up, it did so without a cost of living adjustment. And there was an effort to get it passed, and in the compromises and negotiations, the cost of living adjustment came out. So I'm hopeful that won't happen again, but you have hit a clear challenge that we've got to try to overcome. Thank you.
Kara, thank you very much for your call. Senator, one of the things you've talked about here is engaging the public on issues and petitioning their government and getting the minimum wage legislation moved. Obviously, there's a will be a renewed effort underway next time. You know, sometimes the citizens get tired of just hearing that, and they wanted to see some success. And before we go to the next caller, I wanted to talk a little bit about some success you've recently had when you've engaged neighbors and folks who were concerned about something. Can you talk a little bit about the recent LCB Bureau of Licensing announcement dealing with an issue in your community?
Yes, certainly. Thank you. So I'm a firm believer that participation is power, and that without participation, the chances of winning any kind of victory are pretty slim to none. A number of residents and neighbors who live near Broad and Olney complained to me last summer of 15, about Olney Steak and Beer. Olney Steak and Beer is located at 5606 North Broad. And their complaints were about nuisance behavior, that they were selling shots one at a time out of the store, and there were some complaints about crime and potentially drug dealing. And so what we were able to do, first, neighbors raised some complaints, and this summer, Olney Beer and Wine was fined a small amount. They were fined about $400, and that was a result of the neighbors complaining. We took it a step further. My staff with the neighbors organized. We got about 30 complaint letters to the Liquor Control Board, and on Friday, the Liquor Control Board's Bureau of Licensing decided they were going to oppose. They're going to oppose the renewal of the license for Olney Steak and Beer. This is a tremendous victory. It shows that by complaining, by taking action, that the citizens were able to win the support of the Liquor Control Board to oppose their license renewal. Now, that's not the final step. There still has to be a hearing before a judge to determine if the license will or will not be removed. But it is a significant victory to get the LCB to oppose the renewal. So now we're in a position to strengthen our case, to persuade the judge that this license should not be renewed, as we have been able to already persuade the Liquor Control Board. So I'm so proud of the residents who took a stand, who believed in their own power, and that's what we need more of. In order to take back our communities, we're going to have to stand up and decide that we're going to be involved, that we can and will take back our neighborhoods.
So the key to success, Senator, both in with the issue you dealt with the Liquor Control Board and petitioning, and folks that you hear on the call and others that are interested in making change, is participating, and you encourage that, obviously.
Very much so. Whether it's on the neighborhood level, being a tutor for a kid, shopping in our stores so that they'll have individuals, some shoppers in some of our neighborhood stores, as well as on the public safety side of, if you see something, say something so we can be accountable to ourselves. A good friend of mine said to me, we have to own our solutions. We have to own our solutions, and that's the orientation that I have, and I really encourage all folks in the neighborhood to have as well.
Kara, thank you very much. Senator, thank you very much. That's encouraging about your efforts with the LCB. We're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Saeed. Saeed, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
And thank you for taking the time out to address our questions. I have a couple of questions. One, I'm for raising minimum wage. I think that's a great start for changing the households in our city. But also, yes, we know that while that's needed, but money don't always solve the problem. So is there any type of financial enrichment programs to help people, to prevent them from falling in and falling back into poverty? Because, like the minister said, African Americans, they spend a lot of money. They, in fact, they make up the economy when it comes to spending. So how do we change that? How do we change them from falling back into the same traps?
Okay, so I'll address your first question. I understand you may have a second one, but yeah. Thanks for your question. So this is my experience with folks who are in deep poverty. For many years, I represented families at Abbotsford Homes. You may know that's a public housing complex on Henry. These women were magicians with managing money. They were magicians because they're working on managing $100 or $50. They could stretch $50 into what appeared to be $200. So there are some folks who are in very low income situations who, in my opinion, don't need financial literacy because they have mastered how to manage on a very small amount of money. Now, so managing on 7.25 to get that done, you know a lot about money in many instances. Now, it doesn't mean there's not a great need for financial literacy. And I believe that there is a significant need for financial literacy. There are a number of banks that have programs on financial literacy. Pretty much every bank has a financial literacy program. But they tend not to get deep enough into the community so people are aware of how to do money management. In our area, there are a few nonprofits that have money management classes. Center in the Park has a money management institute. Mount Airy USA has a money management institute. So there are a number, but I think you can hear me say that even though there are a number of folks who are doing it, it's not coordinated so that it's systematic and reaching deeper into the community. There have been some proposals for the school district to have a financial literacy part of the education program, and that hasn't really gone that far. So what I would say to you on the financial literacy question is that we need to look at the organizations that are doing it now and see to what extent they can be expanded. Financial literacy is not, in my opinion, going to come from the government. The government can do some things and some things I don't see it doing. The financial literacy, I think, has to come from our community, and that would be expanding the number of providers and getting them into more places.
And Syed, you indicated you had another question.
Yeah. I understand that it's going to be the pension programs for state employees and teachers is in jeopardy. A lot of people are opposing it. What is your position on it, and is that something that you're going to vote to keep?
Thank you very much. So the pension challenge is significant for school and state employees, but not just them, also for many workers in the Commonwealth. So let me go through this one at a time. First, for the school and state employees, the pension plan that appears to be on the table is one that does not affect current employees at all. So if you're a current state or a current school employee, the pension plan that's being proposed would not affect you directly at all. The pension plan is intended to address new employees. Second, the plan that we have gotten some glimpse of, not a full sense of, is one that would basically give a person who worked 30 years or so about half of their final pay. So, for instance, if you work 30, 35 years, and your final pay, you've been making $60,000 for the last 3 or 4 years of your career, then this plan would provide about 30,000, about 50%. So I am not in favor of a plan and will not vote for the pension plan that's on the table. I believe that it's critical that folks have enough money in retirement to survive. I think it's a mistake to come up with a plan that's going to put folks in poverty or near poverty when they retire. So I'm very concerned about the whole retirement program and making sure that it's sufficient so that when people get 65, they can retire and not have to sell their houses. And I don't want the economy to collapse based upon a retirement structure of our population. Now, second, so that's my answer to the question about the pension bill. I, as well as a Republican senator, have proposed a retirement savings plan for folks who are in jobs where there's no workplace retirement plan. There's about 2 million Pennsylvanians, I think it's 2.1 Pennsylvanians, who are working at places where there's no retirement plan whatsoever. And these are folks, when it comes time to retire, they probably won't have any money or very little. And that's going to really create a challenge. So a number of states have allowed individuals who are in a workplace with no retirement plan to save with the state. That's what we're proposing, and I'm hopeful we can get that passed in 2017 to 2018 so that folks have some money on which to retire.
Saeed, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Cheryl. Cheryl, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello, Senator Haywood.
Hi.
My question is regarding raising the minimum wage. I do believe it is very important. I'm just wondering if employers who are still looking at their bottom line or still would continue to or would begin to just give their employees less hours of work so that the net... Go ahead.
I understand your question. Will they decrease hours or cut jobs? I mean, those are both things that have been said. And let me just share with you the history. The minimum wage has been raised a number of times since it began. And there's not any evidence that jobs have been lost when the minimum wage has increased over time. And there's not evidence that there's been any kind of significant cut in hours or decrease in the number of hours that people have when the minimum wage has gone up. So I'm talking about the experience with the minimum wage in the past. I know there are a number of theories that say jobs will be lost or hours will be cut. But there's the theory of what will happen, and there's a history of what has happened. And the history of what has happened has not resulted in either significant job losses or cuts or other cuts. In fact, it's the opposite that we anticipate, that more spending will lead to more sales, and more sales will need to produce whatever it is that the people are going to buy. Somebody's got to produce the stuff that people are going to buy, and therefore there will be more jobs. Let me say one other thing. There are a number of neighborhood shopping areas where the stores are weak. These stores are in part weak because how much people can spend when they go into the store. And so if we can increase the spending power, I believe it would have a significant impact on a number of areas. For instance, on Germantown Avenue, from Shelton all the way down to Morris, I believe that if individuals have more money to spend, that's a shopping area that can be on the rise. On Germantown Avenue, I say from Germantown Avenue all the way up to Crescent Valley and even beyond, if folks have more money to spend, then those stores and restaurants are going to have more activity, and I think we'll have an improvement. So the spending is related to the businesses, their capacity to produce products that we want. Let me raise one other question, or one other for people to consider. Individuals have said to me at after-school nights for kids, and they say, well, why aren't there more parents here at the back-to-school night? One reason it could be that parents aren't at back-to-school night is because they're working two or three jobs. And I have a number of examples of parents working two or three jobs and low-wage positions in order to pay the rent, keep the lights on, feed the family. And so I think we got to be careful when we say we got expectations for people to be parents and do what they got to do for the kids. Then we're going to pay them $7.25 an hour so they can't be home. So we got to need to get these policies aligned. We're going to encourage families, and we want to encourage parents to stay home and help the kids with the homework. Then that means they got to have a decent amount of money so they don't have to work two, three jobs.
Cheryl, thank you again for the call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Carol. Carol, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator. I'm happy you're doing well today. My name is Carol Ann. I'm a registered Democrat in Montgomery County, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to attend this meeting. I'm interested in knowing how many senators are resisting the increase in the minimum wage and why. I do have another question. I wanted to know what we can do about it.
Those are excellent questions, Carol Ann, and thank you for raising them, and I have a response.
Okay.
So there are 50 state senators, and it takes 26 to pass anything, including raising the minimum wage. I know that right now, and I can count, 26 senators who will vote for it if it comes to a vote. So today, we have a majority of the state Senate that's willing to vote for raising the minimum wage at least at 10 an hour. Our challenge is that this legislation hasn't come to a vote. It's in a committee, which is one stage of the process, and the committee will not put this matter up for a vote. Once it comes up to it for a vote, it will pass. So that's our challenge. In terms of how we address it, I believe that individuals who are willing to call, visit, and write legislators will have an impact. And so if you want to be involved in citizen advocacy, please contact my office. We have citizen advocacy classes where we walk through with citizens how they can be effective when they meet with a legislator or have a phone call with them. I encourage you to call my office, and we can get you into one of the trainings. We just had a good training with some residents last Thursday, and we believe we can build up a citizen force, a citizen advocacy force that can be effective. And let me just be more clear. I think it's important to vote in elections to select whoever you want to elect you, represent you in Congress or wherever, state house, governor, whatever position. But after the voting is done, there are a lot of decisions that are made by these folks that are elected. Citizens often are not involved in that decision-making process. That's where the citizens need to have more involvement. And whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, it doesn't really make a difference. The citizens own the government. The citizens own the government and need to act like it. Thank you so much for that question.
Carol, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go to Cindy. Cindy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator. Thank you for taking my call. You mentioned a little while ago a perhaps a savings plan for retirement. And this sort of goes along with that. Now, you have people who are making minimum wage or less, and we know you cannot live on minimum wage. We want to raise the minimum wage, but here's something else that I haven't heard anybody else address. What happens in the future, looking at this, or assuming that everybody is not getting paid under the table, they're getting a pay stub, they're having payroll taxes taken out, and they're paying into Social Security. What happens down the road when they retire and they've made so little money because they've made minimum wage at whatever it is now or not much better, and the amount that they've paid into Social Security is so minimal that when they retire, they're getting back almost nothing. It's almost a useless amount of money. Has anybody addressed that or thought about that?
Cindy, thank you so much. And what I would say is that there are a number of elected officials who have called for expanding Social Security. And those who have said we need an expanded Social Security are recognizing what you have said at the point of retirement. And so there are not a lot of advocates for expanding Social Security, but there are some, and they are doing so because they realize that there are a number of people who really they're not going to have retirement Social Security savings because of being in low-wage jobs for a large portion of their lives. My retirement savings plan is one piece of the answer, and that is normally at retirement, there are a number of pieces that have to come together. You need, one, some savings of your own. Two, you'll have Social Security. And three, some people have some kind of pension or retirement plan, although that's really decreasing in the United States. So I guess the final answer is going to be these individuals are going to be in a position where after having worked 30 or 40 years of their lives, maybe 50 years of their lives in low-wage positions, they're going to be in a position where they have to rely on public assistance in order to make it. And this is a full part of the significant tragedy, to have worked all your life and then not be really able to retire in dignity.
Cindy, thank you very much for your question. Senator, I want to go over the live poll question, the results this evening, and the question was, do you support raising the minimum wage from its current $7.25 an hour to $15 per hour? The answer this evening, the respondents, 91% support raising the minimum wage and 9% do not. So it's a good result for your legislation and going forward. Senator, I know you have some concluding remarks here this evening for those who have joined us.
Thank you, you, and thank you for moderating the call this evening. And I want to thank all of you who participated in the telephone hall, town hall discussion. To those who listened in and to share their opinions and ask questions, again, this has been a great discussion. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at www.senatorhaywood.com. Thank you again, and have a good evening.
Thank you for joining us here for the telethon hall with Senator Art Haywood. It has been a pleasure. Have a nice evening.